I think it's so cool that a song that was introduced by Kermit the Frog has now entered the canon of the Great American Songbook. I think that's so fabulous. I love that. I love that. Okay, what do you suppose is on the other side of the rainbow? Pot of gold. Yeah, sorry about that. It's not there. Yeah, same old thing. Same old, same old's on the other side of the rainbow. If it's not working for you here, it's not going to work for you on the other side of the rainbow. So let's make it work here, yes? Okay. There was a fascinating piece in the New York Times called Why People Hate Work. And I thought, well, that's a great place to start. Let's start there. Now, here's the deal. Because I know at least one, maybe two of you are retired. So you think that you don't work. But these same ideas would be in play if the name of the article was Why People Hate Life. It is no different. It's no different. So we're going to have an experience today, a multi-sensory experience. You're going to be writing key words that I'm going to give you on the back of your bulletin. Most people hate work because they do not have regular time for creative thinking. They do not have creative time, regular time for creative thinking. Key word there is creative thinking. I'd invite you to write that down. They don't like their jobs, next in order of what's wrong. They do not have the ability to focus on one thing at a time. They do not have the ability to focus on one thing at a time. Key word there would be focus. Next on this list is that they do not have opportunities to do what they enjoy most. They do not have opportunities to do what they enjoy most. This poll was taken with thousands and thousands and thousands of largely white-collar workers. 12% in the survey were blue-collar workers. The key word there would be enjoyment. Half the people in America in this survey find they have no meaning or significance in what they do at work. Meaning, no meaning. Half the people feel they do not have a connection to the company's mission. Key word there would be mission. Company might have a mission other than make money for shareholders. That's always, the bottom line is always the bottom line is the bottom line is the bottom line. But even in a nonprofit organization, half the people feel that they're not really connected, that they haven't bought in to the mission. Half the people in the survey feel they have no community, that where they work offers them no feeling of community. Half the people feel that they have no opportunities for learning, that what they do, I guess, is repetitive, or they have reached a peak, and this can happen, of course, especially like if you're a lawyer, you know, where you have a specialty that you may not love, but it brings in the cash money, but you're not learning anything new. And if you're not learning, you're not growing. That's for sure. Half the people feel that they do not have the opportunity to do what they do best. What I do best. This is not shocking. This all sounds kind of regular, doesn't it? One of the hardest jobs I ever had was when I was in college. Remember the old days when you had the energy to have three jobs in college? And I washed dishes at a restaurant at night. And that was one of the hardest jobs I ever had. It was so mentally hard to stand there and be cheerful and keep doing this work. All of these things were missing, except sense of community, from that experience for me. Half the people feel that they do not have the ability to prioritize their own tasks. And again, most of these, 88% of these people that were surveyed are blue-collar workers. But work is such, the pace is such, the day is such, that they do not have the opportunity to even prioritize their own tasks, because the man is telling them what to do and when to do it. Half the people feel that there is an absence of positive energy in their workplace. Positive energy is missing. In a job where we spend most of our day and a lot of our nights, that there's no positive energy. Half the people do not feel that they understand how to be successful. They do not understand, even in careers, work that they have sought, worked hard for, maybe have even achieved, they still have a lack of understanding of what success means or looks like. What does success mean? Look like? How do you define success? This is the key word. How do I know when I'm successful? If it's only money, then how much is enough? We have a fascinating recent example where people are real, and you know, I love LeBron James now, the guy he is now. But he's getting all this appreciation because he walked away from like $42 million a year, and he's only going to be making $38 million a year. And this was a heroic move on his part. Come on. I mean, like, what's enough? Can't you live well on like $14 million a year? I'm thinking, yes, I could too. That would be a trade-up. Okay, but what's enough? Half the people feel that they do not have the ability to balance work and life. And I'm going to guess that since this is 88% white-collar workers, that it's probably not 50-50 women. If you asked female lawyers, executives, about balancing work and life, it would probably be more than half. 50% of them do not feel they can disengage from work, which means they take work home with them, even when they're not in the office. They cannot stop thinking about it. And that doesn't reflect the good, fun, wonderful parts of it. That means I'm bringing home the problems. Not the joys, but I'm bringing home the concerns with me. And half the people feel that they cannot be their authentic selves. That if they brought their authentic self to the workplace, that their success would be compromised. That is a list of considerations that most people deal with on a daily basis. Some people feel negativity around all of these issues. Blessed is the person who has found their work and these are not overwhelming issues in their life. When I feel guilty admitting this, but I'd be on the plus side of all of these things. Praise God for answered prayers. Praise God for answered prayers. Have you made any sacrifices if you share that experience? I have. But do I have regular time for creative thinking? Yes. Am I able to focus on one thing at a time? Yes. Now, of course, I pretty much work alone, you know, so there aren't that many people impinging on my routine. Do I have the opportunity to do what is most enjoyed? Hello. Do I find a meaning of significance? Yes, in being of service. And am I connected to this company's mission, the Center for Spiritual Living? Well, I don't know what the parent organization thinks or does, and that's fine. I don't really much care. But I know what we're doing here in creating fellowship. And am I on board with that? Yes, I've devoted my life to that activity. Do I have a sense of community? You betcha. Do I have opportunities for learning and growth? Of course I have opportunities. Every single day, every single Sunday, every single class is an opportunity for me to be self-reflexive, as you can too, in whatever work you're doing. Do I get to prioritize my tasks? I get to. Do I? No. That's going to be the second half of the talk. Am I in an environment of overall positive energy? Yes. Even when we sing the blues here in this center, it's for a purpose. Because I retain the right to sing the blues, much like Billie Holiday. Do I understand how to be successful? What are the success metrics? Well, that's going to vary, isn't it? That's going to vary for me in this particular work, but what about you? What about you? Do I have the ability to balance work and home life? Yes, I do have that ability. Do I do it? No. Can I disengage from work? I don't see anything in my particular work that's a problem that I want to disengage from. I can imagine that you can imagine that somebody in my position, you know, every 90 days somebody will tell me all the ways I get it wrong. That's okay. It's not my overall experience, my goodness. And do I have comfort in truly being myself? Yeah. Yeah. Whether you have a 9-to-5 job or a 6 in the morning till midnight job, whether you have any task, whether you call yourself retired, these are still key aspects of a successful life, of a good life, of a self-directed life. These are ideas that are worth being really aware of on a daily basis. And then finding a way, really simply and really elegantly, to put them into practice. So now here's the other half of the talk. Ernesto, you have some handouts there? Okay, I need like 5 teachers' helpers here to help hand out things. And Morna, and I see Wendy, and Deborah, would you be a teacher's helper and hand out things as well? Because I want everybody to get one of these rather quickly. Is anybody else willing to be a teacher's helper and hand out pieces of paper? Can you give them to somebody? That'd be great. I was thinking about how I was going to address this summer coming up. Because I remember last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, the year before. I remember, like, man, the summer goes so fast. It's not like when we were kids, when school would get out at a certain time and you'd go, whoopee, and school, summertime seemed to last absolutely forever. Summer goes fast. It's what, the 13th of July already. So what I did 2 weeks ago was that I printed out a weekly calendar, which you now are in possession of. And I thought to myself, as simple as this is, that I'm going to like pretend I'm in summer school. And I'm really going to write a schedule for myself. Because, you know, frankly, any of you who are artists or business people that work alone as well, when you do set your own tasks, when you do set your own calendar, when you do set everything, or even if you don't have a job but you have days on end, if you don't break it down, we lose all time. I don't need to ask for hands. I'm sure this is true of everybody. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and said, oh, I'm going to get a lot done today? And then you have a cup of coffee, and then you do the crossword puzzle, and then you check your email, and then you look at something on Facebook, which has a click through to a survey so you know what stuffed animal you would be if you were a stuffed animal. And ding dong, it's time for lunch. This is really a problem. It is so easy to waste time. And it's easier because we think, well, I'm not sitting watching television. It's not like I'm watching game shows all morning. So we give ourselves a break, which is great, because you never want to be beating yourself up. But if you don't actually have a plan, you're not going to get it done. I learned a great lesson from somebody who really was a good teacher to me at my other church in Seattle, who said, I can tell you what anybody's priorities are by looking at their checkbook and their calendar. No matter what they tell me they are, checkbook and calendar. Well, for almost all of us now, those things are virtual. We don't carry around checkbooks the way we used to. And calendars are in these little phones, and the days all blend into months and then into years. Do you have regular time for creative thinking? If you look at Sunday, for example, well, you're going to X out like from 7 in the morning till noon on Sunday because you're here, right? Okay. Look at the time you have. If you do not like what's going on in your daily life, my God, look at the amount of time we have. Do you have time for regular, creative, or strategic thinking? When would you like to do that? All the time. The danger in all the time is, that means I can do it anytime, and anytime quickly turns into never. When would you like to do strategic thinking? Well, I'm looking at my calendar. Could I do that between 7:30 and 7 and 8 o'clock when I have my second cup of coffee? Could I actually sit down and make myself do that every day? Because for most people in America, the single most important thing for them that they're missing in their life is an opportunity to have creative time and strategic thinking. When was the last time you really gave focused thinking to the 5-year plan of your life? When was the last time you actually sat down and thought about something creative? Well, I could write a book, yeah. All right, that took 3.5 seconds. How much time are you thinking about what you're going to write? Zero. Why? We just don't do it. Make yourself do it. Make yourself do it. It's a get to. It's not a have to. But if it really is true, if this is so critical to have creative, regular creative time for thinking, do I have to do it every day? No, I don't have to do it every day. Maybe I'll do it on Friday between 8 and 9. At least once a week, think about my life, my creative projects. Think about it. Revise your goals. Set some goals. Do I have the ability to focus on one thing at a time? Well, if I ask myself to be disciplined, to be a disciple of the things that really interest me, then pick out of these 60 available hours. Pick. What would you like to work on one thing at a time? Are you teaching yourself something new? Do you have a hobby? Oh, yes, well, I'll get to that at some point. I was going to do such and such this summer. Have you started yet? I have not started yet. Opportunities to do what you enjoy most. Have you done anything fun or different lately? Even if it's not something that you have to declare that I enjoy this more than any other thing on the planet. I went to a poetry slam last night, and I hadn't been to one in 25 or maybe 30 years, but it was thrilling beyond belief to see these mostly young, under 30 people who were alive with a fierceness and articulate and enthusiastic. I hadn't done that in decades. Why not? Because sometimes I get tired. What? Do something new. Schedule 30 minutes to do something new once a week. Do you know what has meaning and significance for you? Do you know what it is? And is it a part of your life? Is it a part of your everyday? I'm not going to tell you what it is for you, but what has real meaning or significance to you? Is it communicating with friends? What? What could it be? All you need to do is to pick a time and say, you know what? At lunchtime on Thursday, from 12 to 1 every Thursday, I'm going to call somebody I rarely speak to. They're all options. These are all options to do what you do best, to prioritize your tasks. If you assign an actual time for it, the chances are you will do it. Doesn't guarantee that you will do it. But the chances are so greatly increased. You know, like they say, you're not going to go to the gym unless you put it in your calendar that this is what I do on this date. Okay, what time? Because unless we declare a time, we haven't impressed our own mind that we mean it. At 4 o'clock, this is what one does every day. This is very simple stuff. It only requires a significant amount of choice making, creative thinking, and willingness. Because this is all stuff you want to do. But gee, there just isn't enough time to do. All we have is time. That's all we have. How much of it, how long that arc is unknown to us. But all we have is time. And if you happen to be in a kind of work where your work really is self-determining, that I feel what I have learned is it's all the more necessary to be organized. The more organized I am, the more I get done, and the more free time I have. It is counterintuitive, but it works. To understand what it means to be successful, that might be part of your creative thinking, strategic thinking, and creative time. Constantly reevaluate. What does it mean to be successful? What are the metrics that I am holding at whatever my age is, and whatever activity I am engaged in? How am I going to conclude each day giving thanks for a day well spent. Are you able to disengage from work? Yes. Are you comfortable in truly being yourself? I hope that you would be. You have all the support in the world here for that. And that's one of the ways that we are unusual, yes? Is that we encourage everybody to come to an understanding of their own God, to know what they mean when they use the word God, and to understand the way life really works. You see, this is really a spiritual task. I personally believe you don't have to, that there is that of us that is eternal, that there's some part of my consciousness that was before this life and is now and will go on after this experience is concluded. So if I am here now, how do I want to use this opportunity of being an earthling? What do I want to do? Am I dedicated to getting stuff, which is all great? Well, what would you like your obituary to say, or on your tombstone? Well, she got the stuff she wanted. That's good too. But what? Creative time. This is all a mindfulness practice, friends. That's why this is spirituality. The gift of incarnation has been given. Consciousness is the most awesome tool known and barely understood. There can't be any spiritual practice that is more important than making holy the hour and really understanding that this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. How is that? By giving all of my awareness to it, by making strong and clear choices, by working on this, by creating this, by healing this, by sharing this. And at the end of the day, I know that there will be so much to be grateful for. I have filled out this form, and this summer for me so far has been fantastic. I urge you to fill out, if not all of it, at least parts of it. At least declare at 1 hour every day at some time that I am going to give my full attention to such and such. If you do that, you'll really have something to talk about when you go back to school, and you can say, this is what I did on my summer vacation. And that'll be fun. God bless you, friends.